you want more? More money? More love? More energy? If so, then you're definitely in the right place, and I want to let you know that you're not alone. Each week, I'll be bringing you a special guest who will share with you their journey to success, where you'll learn beneficial skills, tactics, and life lessons to take with you along your own path. But the most important lesson you'll learn is that there's only really one person that you'll ever be chasing, and that person is you. My name is Matt Petruzzo, and I want to welcome you to the Chasing You Podcast. All right, super excited today to talk to my good friend, Dave Fox, who is the CEO of Focus Global Talent Solutions here down in sunny Florida. He started this company just over a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah, about a year and a half, yeah.
Already doing multiple seven figures, an amazing guy. I met him through our Thai mastermind, and I'm just super excited to get deep into kind of what brought him down here, how he started this business out of, you know, kind of nothing, and it really became a powerhouse in the IT and healthcare talent placement company and that sphere of influence. So I'm excited to get into it, brother.
Yeah, man, super excited.
Well, cheers. Let's cheers.
Cheers to Bang Energy.
Bang Energy, man, for sure.
Send us some cases.
Right. Yeah. We're not sponsored, but someday maybe. Right. Yeah. Bang Energy. We'll make sure we got the cotton candy flavor out here. So. Originally, you're from Canada, correct?
Yeah, born and raised in Winnipeg, Canada.
Winnipeg, Canada. Cool. And then I was talking to Brittany. You guys went to college together in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is actually like straight down from where I was. Strangely enough, like Britt and I, we actually found out that the same highway ends on one end where I'm from, in up north of Winnipeg in Manitoba, where I'm from. And it goes right down to where she lived.
In Texas?
The same highway. Highway 59 goes all the way up through the United States, into Canada, and ends right by where my cabin was growing up.
So you can just go straight. You don't need to go anywhere else. Yeah. I like that. I like it. So you guys originally went to college together, but then you moved to New York City, correct? Yeah. And you weren't really into entrepreneurship or anything like that, right?
So I was always kind of interested in entrepreneurship. My first business I ever had was in college. I started, I did an MLM in college, like I'm sure everybody's done an MLM at some point, and then I was like, no, not for me. But I actually did pretty good at it. I was making like $1,000 a week at one time, which when you're in college, that's good money.
Very good, yeah.
But I always liked sales, so I did sales all through college. And then the other thing that I did was I started a business. This was my first real foray into business. I noticed, so I used to make like hip hop beats and stuff. Mm. And I was always trying to sell them online, but big at that time was MySpace. Mm. And they had MySpace Music, and MySpace Music had these charts that, you know, if you were on the top of the charts, you could like literally become famous. Mm. So I was like, I wonder if there's a way to move people up the charts. And I found this software that would basically go to your MySpace account, mm-hmm, and would use different IP addresses to play people's players, and it would move them up the chart, and that would gather real people interested in their music and move them up the chart. So I didn't understand the value of residual back then, because I should have charged people a subscription for this. Mm-hmm. Instead, I literally would be like 100,000 plays, $99, and like all this stuff. And like, it was killing it for a while. Like I was pulling in $3,000-$5,000 a month on the side just with this little thing. And again, when you're in college, like that's good money, right? Mm-hmm. And I would have like this program open like 8 or 9 times on my computer, delivering people's orders. Brittany, we got married in college. She'd always be like, why is the internet so slow? And it's because I have this program running all this bandwidth through our computers at our place. It was,
wow, that's...
So that was my first foray. Yeah. And that lasted until MySpace went away.
So how did you find out? Like, were you into like tech growing up or anything? How would you find that algorithm?
I wasn't into tech, but I figured that there had to be a software. So I just started searching, and that's really what happened. I found it, and I started using it on my own stuff to boost myself up the charts. And then I was like, man, there has to be a way to monetize this. And I just started thinking about it. So I just built a little website, hooked up PayPal to it, and people would pay me. And it was so cool. I'd like wake up in the middle of the night like to go to the bathroom and run over to my computer and see, I've been paid, I've been paid. Yeah. I was like, this is awesome. So
you got a little taste of like the online entrepreneur stuff. And it's interesting because nowadays, we talked a little bit about this too. They use similar algorithms with Instagram, correct? And you have a little side business that you're working on now that does kind of similar things, right?
Yeah, we have a business that helps people grow their Instagrams, and it does similar stuff like that, but it actually drives real traffic to it. And it's interesting because, like, you can set up things like that all day.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you really want to bank on something like that, you got to be in early.
Yeah.
Like, there were people that did this with Instagram, like, first. Those people made millions of dollars, man. Millions of dollars. And then they got shut down by Instagram. And the thing is, when you have a business like that, it's like, if Instagram sends you a letter wanting to shut down, you shut down. Like, what are you going to do? Sue them? Like, you're going to lose, right? You have no chance, so.
Well, when you went to New York, though, what were you doing there?
So, I went to New York originally because we wanted to get to the big city. Brittany had always kind of felt New York would be like a cool place to live, and I was always kind of fascinated with it. I always knew when I was growing up that there's going to be more opportunity in the United States than Canada, so I wanted to move down here. Plus, I hated the cold weather.
So that's why you got married early? You wanted to be an American citizen?
Yeah, I mean, it helped. It definitely helped, but that's not why we got married. But it was nice to get the green card. But anyway,
it was true love, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry.
They test you, man. When you go, they test you, and make sure they bring you in. They're like, why'd you guys get married? Where'd you get married? And then they ask her and make sure your answers match. But so we moved to New York. I was gonna work in finance because I had a finance degree, but it was 2009, and that was the worst time to get into finance. And what happened was, it was really interesting. I actually first when I was in high school, I got into a ton of trouble, man. I got into like drugs and all sorts of stuff. And I ended up going through a program called Teen Challenge that I spent a year in this program getting like things together. And then I moved down to Oklahoma to go to school right after I got out. And that was perfect for me because if I had gone right back into my old environment, I probably would have gotten a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Then Brittany and I moved to New York and I couldn't get a job there. And strangely enough, I actually reached out to the guy from Teen Challenge in Winnipeg and he was like, hey, like, let's connect you with the guys in New York. And they hired me to be their financial manager. And they hired Brittany to work there too. So we got paid to move out and work in nonprofit. And we spent a year there and we realized that we're more business people. We're like, this isn't gonna work for us. Plus, at the time, it seemed like their financial plan was kind of like a mini US government, spend. And I was trying to tell them, I was like, we need to cut back on this and that. And they didn't really want to listen to me. So I was like, I don't want to be part of this. But it was a really good season in our lives to like experience that.
That was like right when you graduated.
When we first graduated. And they like, they gave us housing and stuff. So like, it was cool. Cause it kind of like, us there. It was a good vehicle to get us to the next stage.
Yeah, that's a good opportunity. Definitely in New York with housing being pretty expensive. You lived out in New York though for a while. And I think Brittany got into real estate, right? And then you specifically were in the IT field, no?
Well, what happened was, so after we decided to leave Teen Challenge, Brittany got a job at Macy's. Because she had done that in college. She had done like the makeup thing at Dillard's, I guess they had down in Oklahoma. Yeah. So she got a job at Macy's and she's working in their makeup department. And I got actually recruited by a dude to go work in accounts payable, which accounting and finance was my degree. So I got a job to go work in accounts payable at a jewelry company. Hated it. Hated it. I would literally see people that would stay late. I was like, why are these people staying late? They're not incentivized at all. Yeah. They're like, there's like nothing attached. And it was just like, so I was literally at like 4:30, I was like ready to go every single day. And I was like, I can't live like this.
That's not a good life.
And I did sales all through college. And I was like, I need to get back into sales. And then I remembered, I was like, that recruitment guy, I wonder if I could do what he did. So I ended up finding this ad on Craigslist. I thought I might get abducted, right? So I find this ad on Craigslist for this company that is, they're building their recruitment practice here in New York. And it's, strangely enough, they're placing the tech people at banks to build trading systems. And I'm like, this might be my chance to get closer to the banks that I wanted to work at. And I went and literally, I was making 40K in New York at this accounting job.
40K.
I went from 40K.
In normal places, like 10.
Yeah. I went from 40K down to 35K yeah. to take this. And I was like, but I knew, like, with the commission opportunity and all that, I was like, this is going to be a game changer. Strangely enough, at the exact same time, Brittany, we get a new apartment, and we couldn't even, like, show enough income at all to get this apartment. The guy who found us our apartment lied and said we worked at his restaurant to get us approved. Because he knew we'd pay. Like, he could tell by, like, talking to us that we were, like, responsible people. He's like, I know you'll pay, so I'm just going to... So this guy lied to get us our apartment.
Wow.
And then Brittany had such a good experience in real estate working with this guy that she's like, I'm going to go into real estate. And I'm like, great. So now we only have $35,000 to live. We have a $2,000 a month apartment in New York. And you're on a commission-only job. So we just had to figure it out. It was wild.
That's great. Yeah. And you did that for how long? About 5 years?
9 years.
9 years. Oh, geez. Okay. So that's when you got kind of introduced to the recruiting side of it, right?
Yeah.
And then... See, you know, the paths that we take, it's kind of wild sometimes that you're like, I was in accounting and, you know, business major, finance, and like, I didn't know much about recruiting, didn't know much about IT. Yeah. I didn't know much about how it even existed until I met you. And you're like, oh, we do very well. I'm like, oh, that's a whole industry that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
But like, what pushed you over the edge to be like, you know what? I want to create my own passion. You know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing everybody else do it. I want to go out. I want to do my own thing and take the leap. Because a lot of people, I think, don't have that. You know, like, they can get stuck. Yeah. Like, you were making probably good money. Brandon was doing well. And things could have got comfortable. But what pushed you to say, hey, I want to do my own thing?
So, it was an interesting journey. So, I started off, did very well in this. And then I got an opportunity to become a partner in the business there. And moved up. I was like a director at the company, doing well. And Britt and I just decided, like, this was 8 years later. We're like, hey, you know what? We need a change.
Mm.
We're like, we're getting tired of New York weather. We're getting, New York taxes are
brutal,
atrocious, right? Mm. And we had a couple properties down in Florida. And in Naples, actually. So we come down and we go to Naples and, like, we love the weather and everything, but we're like, we could never live here because everybody's like three times our age.
In Naples, for sure.
So we're like, this isn't gonna work. And then we start thinking about it and we're like, you know what? We've been to Miami a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of that New York hustle. Let's move to Miami. So we literally, like, we just knew. Like, we were like talking about it and we knew. And Brittany, like, it was hard for her because she loves New York.
Yeah.
And like, I like New York, but I wasn't like, oh, like, I want to spend the rest of my life here. I still miss a lot of things about it, but I was like, yeah, let's do this. And it worked out really nice because we had started traveling all the time, and every year we were going to different countries and love traveling. And we're like, this is the perfect opportunity to ask for a sabbatical to actually travel the world a little bit. So I go and tell them I'm leaving, and they're like, you're not leaving. You're gonna have to open an office for us in New York. They're like, or in Miami. They're like, the one thing we know is that you're going to Miami, so let's open an office there. Which was cool, because it showed how much they backed me. And then I was like, well, let's drop the sabbatical bomb. So I'm can I take 10 weeks and go travel before I move down there? And they actually agreed, and they paid me for it.
Wow.
They kept me getting paid.
You never know unless you ask, right?
So we went and traveled for 10 weeks. We sold our apartment in New York. Put everything into storage. We had some friends that lived in Charlotte that was halfway between New York and Miami. So we drove down, we left our dogs with them. They volunteered to watch our dogs for free for 10 weeks. And literally flew out of there and went and traveled 7 countries in 10 weeks. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, and then from that point, you're in the sabbatical. When you moved down to Miami, what happened with starting that office that made you actually create your own thing?
So it sounds pretty bad because people are going to be like, oh my goodness, you got a sabbatical and then you left? And that's not exactly what happened. So a lot of soul searching happens on a sabbatical like that. You know, I think I read about a book a week. You know, there was a lot of conversations about what we want to do next in our life. And it was really like, it was the trip of a lifetime. Like literally when we were on this trip, I think Britt and I spent almost $100,000 on this trip.
Yeah.
Like it was like insane, but we had just sold our apartment. We had no expenses and we're just like, we stayed in 5-star hotels. We went to Japan, China, Vietnam, Bali, Australia, New Zealand, and finished in Bora Bora. Wow. So it was also our 10-year anniversary. So we tried to do all this stuff and this big thing. And you know, you're like living this like amazing, amazing life. But we realized, we're like, man, if we just had enough money to do this, it would get more. Mm-hmm. We're like you can't travel much better than this. Mm-hmm. And we decided, we were like, you know what? We need to start our own business one day, right? And we weren't thinking that. So I came down, I'm starting my own business, and or I'm starting my own office down here, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at offices and something, and all of a sudden some dude reaches out to me mm-hmm. and is like, hey Dave, I've heard great things about you. I've bought and sold all of these companies, recruitment companies in Europe, and I've just moved to Greenville, North Carolina. I'm looking for a partner. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not looking for you, man. I'm happy where I am. Like, these people take good care of me. And he just kept kind of insisting, and he's like, look, you should be an owner of a business and all this stuff. And he finally offered me 25% to join him and start this company. And I talked to him on Skype, I talked to him on the phone many times, and I was like, you know what? Finally, I was like, if I don't do this, I'm gonna question myself for the rest of my life. Hmm. So I decided to do it, and I put my notice in November of 2017. At the beginning, end of the month, they're trying everything they can do to keep me. And I'm like, no, I'm committed to leaving. So finally, the first week of December, the dude comes down and I meet him for the first time in real life. And in about 10 minutes, I was like, I can't partner with this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no freaking way I can partner with this guy. He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
And Brittany was actually, strangely enough, she was in New York closing her final real estate deal from when we moved down here. And, she comes back while this guy's still here, and I'm like, maybe I'm just getting like cold feet or something. I'm like, I'm not gonna tell her what I think of the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let her meet him. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to have a biased opinion. She may tell me, she's like, there's no way you're partnering with a guy. Mm. So now I'm in a really bad situation because this guy is here, and he had come down, he had like 8 computers mm-hmm. that he wanted. Like, we're looking at offices and interviewing people. Mm-hmm. Like, it was already a done deal. Mm-hmm. And he's got 8 computers that he wants me to store in my condo until he like, we start the business in January. Yeah. And I'm like, I cannot get those computers in my apartment, because if I do, there's gonna be a second date with this dude. Yeah, and I never want to see him again.
Yeah.
Right? So I keep making excuses the whole time. I'm like, nah, like, we'll do it tomorrow, like, all this stuff. And finally, the last day, I finally tell him, and he flips out.
Really?
He threatens to sue me. And I'm just like, okay, that just shows that this guy wasn't right. But now I'm like, I can't go back to my old company. Mm-hmm. And Brittany and I were just like, you know what? Let's go home for, spend some time with the family at Christmas. We came back. We literally LLC'd the business, ordered some phones, and just started a business in our second bedroom. And we were not, like, it was like back against the wall. We had no choice. Mm. So it was a wild situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think, one of the big messages from that was the fact that, you know, there's so many connections that you know, nowadays you can connect with people all over the world on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be. But unless you meet somebody face to face, it's hard to tell somebody's true colors. But like the first time that we met, it was probably about a year ago or so, I sat down with you and Brittany. I was just like, oh, okay, these are my people. You know, like, I could connect with them. I truly, genuinely believe, like, wherever you were at, like, and I think you were just, you know, maybe 6 months in, but you're like, we're killing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I knew you could feel the energy. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's people that you meet and you're just like, okay, I get why this guy's just kind of been all over the place and I can't deal with that. And one of the things, like, when I went and I had the fortunate privilege to talk with your team, which you guys have over 10 people, a dozen people now, right? And just literally under two years, I had the privilege to talk to the team, that the camaraderie and the environment that you guys have already created is like, it's something that was eye-opening to me, even, because I have a team and, you know, I was like, man, I need to pick some, you know, advice from you, because, like, you have such a great motivation to get your team already kind of in that state.
Yeah.
You know, so what brought you, because I know you listen to Tony and a lot of those, you know, Tony Robbins, like, what made you create this environment to be so great?
So when we started the business, it's weird because I think a lot of people that work in a business where like insurance that you're in, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people who like are good at selling insurance that probably think I could start my own agency, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a huge difference between being a top producer someplace and running a business. Huge difference. Sure. And I quickly started to realize that, because Britt and I started bringing money in. Brittany is just a natural great salesperson. She picked it up very quick. But the issues, like, all of a sudden I'm dealing with stuff like insurance and invoicing and cash flow. And luckily for us, mm-hmm. I've always been pretty good at finance because I had the finance degree, and I've always really enjoyed that. So running like that part of it kept us afloat early on. But it was just like, we had no idea what we were doing. And I get a Facebook ad of Tony Robbins' Business Mastery.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brittany, I think, had just watched his documentary. Mm. And I was like, Brittany, I think we should do this. And it was like, it was expensive, right? When you're starting a business, mm-hmm. it was like 10 grand for us to go, or $14,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's a big expense when you're starting out. Yeah. Like we had no employees yet. And, you know, $14,000 was like what was in the bank account at that point. And we're just like, but luckily they let us do it into payments. Mm-hmm. And I think we had $1,500 a month every month until August of that year. And, you know, we had started hiring some people, and we went to this event though, and it just, I felt like I got an MBA in 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Just
amazing. And I was like, this is amazing. So for us, we realized like, we're in a very hard sales environment. We need to help people keep their state positive.
Yeah.
So that's why we implement the things like the chant we do in the morning and the jumping up around and down and the power sessions. And for me, man, I want all my people to be successful.
Yeah.
Because I remember like it was a game changer in my life. Mm-hmm. And not everybody's gonna own a business.
Yeah.
You know, but like you can do very well in this industry. Like I was doing great. Mm-hmm. And you can live a fantastic life. So I'm like, I want these people to do great, but I also realize like every little small fractional advantage that you can get can in the end produce geometric results
for sure.
So I was like, if I can help these people be in a better state, that just gives them one extra advantage on a phone call.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. And the environment's so big, because I think I know this, it was very difficult for being in a sales position, you know, when I don't know specifically how your sales was, you know, set up in New York, but like me starting out, I was out by myself. You know what I mean? Like as a salesman, entrepreneur, it could be pretty lonesome when you're out there just grinding. And then you kind of forget the whole point of why you're doing this is like, well, why am I making money? Because I want to have the freedom. But why do I want to have the freedom? Because I want to do things.
Yeah.
But why do I want to do things? I want to do things with people I love and experience things that I love with the people that I love. And then you forget that like it's a community.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just make money and just hoard it by myself in a room by myself. Yeah. So like the community that you've created is very important. It's difficult to see in like a not so sexy job, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, IT placement, healthcare placement, insurance, you know, those are not the sexiest businesses we were talking about. Like, you know, you can sell a whole bunch of Bang energy drinks on Instagram, just put, you know, a couple girls in thongs and say, hey, you know, this is delicious, and you sell millions of them, right? So to keep your enthusiasm for something like that is difficult at times. So
there's so much up and down, man. It's like, it's literally an emotional roller coaster. Like I always tell people, it's funny because at my old company, they used to do this thing where when somebody started on the first day, they would have to go in and introduce themselves to everybody. Mm-hmm. And our company is not big enough to do this. We'll do it eventually. But they'd go introduce themselves to everybody, and they would have to find out, like, get one piece of advice from people. And I would tell every single person, this is going to be an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Expect the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. It's not about like one day you have a good day and one day you have a bad day. Because if you can't deal with that, like that's life in general. You've got a much bigger problem.
But it's like
in this job, like literally you could have a candidate that you've been talking to for like 3 weeks, get an offer telling you that they're pumped about it. Mm-hmm. And then the next minute they tell you, they're like, actually, you know what? I took another offer and I never told you about it, even though you asked me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're just like, I was just so excited that I got a deal, and now I have no deal. And now I have to go tell my client that this guy's not taking their job, and I'm going to get the brunt of the frustration that person feels. And it's just like, it's so up and down that you're just like, if you can't stay even keel, you're going to like jump off a building.
It's true. That's any type of sales position. You forget that, like, I think nowadays it's been very difficult for a lot of younger generation to acclimate themselves into that.
Yeah.
When, like, in my field, for instance, like, if one of my guys, you know, when they're first starting out, you know, they'll get so excited, like, hey, I met with this prospect. We set an appointment for next week, and, you know, I'm super excited for this appointment. And then they'll go show up for the appointment, and they're like, the people just don't show up.
Yeah.
I'm like, that happens all the time. Like, it's so difficult to, like, forget like human nature. Like people are just, they're selfish beings. And unless you show a reason why that you're benefiting them, unfortunately, things don't always go your way. And to be able to be resilient is like, is a very important thing. And we were talking about that earlier, just how do you keep yourself like motivated? And we were talking about Tony Robbins, like, you know, six human needs.
Yeah.
And kind of figuring out like what are more motivating for you. Like you said, you're very growth oriented. Like,
very growth.
I'm very growth oriented as well. But a lot of people don't know what they are. So they're just kind of going in a circle that don't know why they're motivated.
Yeah.
So for you, you were like, you know, you just have this amazing, what is this, 11,000 square feet? How big is this office?
No, it's not that big. Not that big. It's okay. Like 3,000.
Oh, okay.
3,000.
I thought my math's way off then. But.
You know, it feels like it though. Sometimes.
Yeah, it feels like it. But you were in a position where last year you were like, well, we're sitting here, you know, we're doing okay. To make this next leap, I have to take a pretty big risk, right? But what'd you say to me about why you...
I said every single time, like I look back on our business and I was like, when was the times that we were most fired up and excited?
Yeah.
When we first started.
Yeah.
It was scary. When we hired our first person. Mm-hmm. Scary, right? Now you're responsible for someone's well-being and their family and stuff like that. When we moved into our first temporary office space.
Uh-huh.
All super exciting things. And we're like, we felt the most alive at that. We're in a crossroads now. Uh-huh. It's like, we need a new office. Uh-huh. Do we take the little tiny office and play it safe? Or do we take a risk? And we're like... We felt most alive every single time we taken a risk.
Yeah.
So we take the risk. It's the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it doesn't mean just take stupid risks.
No, for sure.
Like, look at it and calculate it. But we just knew. We're like, every time we put ourselves in these situations, that's what worked out.
And I think a lot of people, they don't build that self-esteem up in themselves to take those risks because they don't know who they are yet. And I guess one of the things that I was always was intrigued by you and Brittany. Like, you guys built that confidence in yourself by doing difficult things.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys actually both did the 75 hard challenge and just finished that.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of a breakdown of what the 75 challenge is and how it really impacted.
So 75 hard is a challenge that Andy Frisilla from First Form came up with. And you basically, you have to do 5 things. And it's funny because it just goes to show it's really 5 simple things, but it's a lot harder than it sounds. So first, you pick a diet and you have to follow it to a T. No cheat meals. You can't be like, oh, my diet's one where one day a week I can eat ice cream cake. No, it's not your diet. You pick a diet, you have to stick to it 100%. No alcohol at all, which, you know, I know that you don't drink, so that'd be easy for you. But like, you know, for us, that was something that was not super easy because we like a glass of wine from time to time. So that was tough. And then you have to drink a gallon of water a day, which is a lot of water.
Yeah.
You have to work out 2 times a day for 45 minutes every day for 75 days straight. And one of those workers must be outside. It doesn't matter temperature, rain, shine. You got to be out there working out. And then the other 2 things are you have to read 10 pages of a book and take a progress picture every day. And it sounds easy. It's 5 things, but it's like, you have to do these things consistently. And the rule is, if you mess up any of them, that means like you eat a Cheeto or something, restart day one.
Mm.
And we knew this and we're like, we're only doing this once. We're not gonna mess up. We're doing it one time. I'm not screwing this thing up. But I also knew that if I did, I would be haunted by it and need to redo it, right? So, but I think what I learned out of that is that I think a lot of people, whether it's something they want to stop doing in their life, something they want to start doing, they say, and like in Ty's mastermind, he talked about 67 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different theories about how long it takes to make a habit. Yeah. Some people say 21 days. Some people say 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say 75 days. Some people say 67 days, whatever, right? But it's somewhere probably closer to the, you know, 67 to 90 day mark. So, you know, we have 75 days here. Most people do something, they hit some resistance, they quit, and they restart, and they never get themselves to a point where they have that habit. So when we got to the end of this, you know, we finished it, but Britt and I were talking, we're like, okay, this is cool, let's go have a celebratory meal, let's have a glass of wine, let's enjoy ourselves for the weekend. But we were talking about, we're like, we're in such a good habit now. If we wanted to, we could never drink again.
Mm-hmm.
If we wanted to, we could stick to this diet forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep working out 2 times a day because your body will eventually break down. But like all these things, we develop these habits. and like they're easy to maintain now. Mm-hmm. So most people just end up restarting things so much that like you think about it, that if it takes that long to build a habit, you get to 10 days, you restart. Now you have to, you're adding 10 days on to ever getting there, and then you do 20 days, you restart. Now I've had 30 days added on, and then you do like 30 days, and then you just keep like, and you never get there, but you're wasting all this time starting, you know? So like for us, the further we got into it, the more we're like, we can't mess this up.
Yeah, and the easier it got too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the easier it got too.
Because it was retraining your brain. You know, a lot of what happens, I think, in that habit thing, it's like all your brain does is just, it's just trying to protect yourself from hurting yourself from a story that was told in the past. So trying to predict the future.
Yeah.
And when you do these difficult things, it rewires your brain, actually. Yeah. It's like shaking the snow globe a little bit to rewire your brain. And I'm just always trying to do difficult things because, you know, for thousands of years, what did we do as humans? We were just, you know, trying to avoid war, plague, and famine. Yeah. You know, like those were real things for the majority of our existence as humans. We really don't really have to worry about famine. Don't really have to worry about like war. You're not like gonna have, you know, yes, there's still war, but like not the way it was before, you know.
We don't have an army coming down
exactly
on our house.
Yeah. So like life is pretty easy now, and we're not evolved to have easy all the time.
Yeah.
So by doing these difficult things, it actually helps you grow as a person because the body and the brain doesn't know the difference between, you know, stress at a job that's chronic, like continuous stress over, you know, things that really don't have a big impact.
Yeah.
But if you think it, your body will try and protect you from those stresses. But like the acute stress, the short bursts of stress, you know, the hard 45-minute workouts, you know, twice a day, or, you know, doing things difficult actually helps your body release some of that toxins, right?
I think too, like for that, it was really getting to a point where I realized that if I commit to something, I need to get it done. Like a good example is, so my final workout, I ran 8 miles. That's a lot longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was trying to build up my running stamina, but like I probably had the ability on day one to run 8 miles, but there's no way that ever would have happened. When I got to the end, I realized, and I'm doing this final run, I'm like, I'm doing this run because I told myself that I was doing it, and I told everybody else I was gonna finish on an 8 mile run. And it was funny because, you know, it's the final workout of this entire thing, and I'm looking down at my watch and I hit 45 minutes and I'm like, I could just be done right now. Like I'm done the 75 hard right now. All I have to do is go home, sip a drink of water, not cheat on my meal until I go to sleep tonight, and I've finished this thing. But I'm like, no, man, I said I was gonna finish this run. I'm only like 4 miles into this thing. I better finish another 4 miles, and I did. And it made me realize that like, if I say I'm gonna do something, I can do it. Like I need to commit, but I need to commit to things that are stretching for me.
But you built that up.
Yeah.
You built that up. I kind of talked about this a little bit the other day, is like you can't just run 8 miles the first day.
No.
And then if you do that and you fail, you just broke a promise to yourself, right? Yeah. And then that's a self, you know, crippling cycle that you're just continuously telling yourself that, you know what, hey, I don't actually keep promises that I make to myself. But after the 75th day, you built up that self-confidence in yourself. You're like, you know what? I could quit right now, but I'm not going to. I already went this whole time. Like, I promised myself I was going to run 8 miles today.
Yeah.
Let's run 8 miles,
yeah.
Right? So, like, how has that impacted kind of every aspect of your life, you know, kind of going forward?
I think it just gives you a lot more confidence. Yeah. So, when I'm, you know, like, I know that if something seems really difficult, I can do it. Like, I started jiu-jitsu, right? And since I'm very growth-oriented, that's exciting now, too, because I'm like, I'm doing something that it's a 10-year journey if you want to get a black belt in that. And I'm like right now it's super exciting and I'm like, I think I want to get a black belt. But it's like, I know that if I commit to it, I can get a freaking black belt, right? It's like, it's going to be a long, hard journey, but it's also rewarding, right?
And that's that's a good goal to have too, because like, you know, I was talking to Brittany earlier, it's like, at the end of the 75 hard, it was almost like,
What now,
right?
Yeah.
So I guess with jiu-jitsu, it's like, I've always been intrigued by that. When you told me that you started jiu-jitsu, I was like, oh, okay, that's actually really exciting to me, because you know, you just hopped in and you said, I've never done jiu-jitsu before, but it's something new. I want to push myself. I want to learn something new. And it gives you something to work for a long time.
Yeah. And it's good. It's not like it's like you start and you're a white belt and it's 10 years and you get a black belt. There's like obviously steps along the way. They give you like little stripes on your belt as you're going that like help show that you've progressed and advanced. So it's like, it's not, that's a good long-term goal, but it's like in the immediate goal, my first goal is I want my first stripe as a white belt. And then I want my second, third, fourth, and then you get advanced to blue belt and all these different things. So it's like you have goals along the way. So it's good to have like a long-term thing, but then you need little things along the way to help you know that you're making progress.
So after hearing everything that you have done, everything you've accomplished, it's hard to stay motivated sometimes. I think people kind of can get on these highs, like I just crushed that Bang energy drink and I'm feeling fire, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't last.
Yeah.
Like what's something that you do that kind of keeps you motivated and keeps you kind of passionate about what you're doing?
I think you need to have a big why, right? So for me, I'm constantly thinking about what the big purpose and reason is that I want to do things every single day. And like you need some like goals too, right? So like, one of the things that Britt and I have as a goal, and this is a hard goal to get to, is we like to be able to really like we like traveling, like I told you earlier.
Yeah.
We like to be able to fly private all the time whenever we fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never flown private at all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think sometimes what you need to do is give yourself that experience, and that experience will make it that you figure out a way to get there. So for instance, couple years ago, we traveled to South Africa. No, this was like 3-4 years ago. We traveled to South Africa and they had one of these things where you could bid for an upgrade. And I bid and I won. So we traveled a 16-hour flight first class. And that was my first time actually like in real first class. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Getting
like, how have I been living back there, right? So now, like every time I travel, I want to travel first class. And most times we will. And we'll use like points and stuff to do that. But I'm like, in the next 12 months, we'll do a taste of that private fly. And then, you know, I believe that when you kind of experience something, you'll figure out a way to make it happen. So like things like that keep us motivated, and then we're always moving our goals. We're like, okay, how big can we get this business to? What can we do with it? Like we want to sell this business. So we're like, how do we get there? And then we already know what we want to do when we do. So it's those type of things that keep us motivated.
Having something to look forward to.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, I think
you have to reward yourself along the way.
For sure. Yeah, that was one thing I definitely struggled with, was the rewarding myself.
Yeah.
But if you lose sight of that, and I mean, working with your wife now, how has that really made things different in your life? Good, bad?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people are like, how do you work with your spouse? And for a lot of people that's difficult, but for us, like Brittany and I are a really good team. And we love working together. Like we realize that I have strengths, she has strengths, and we kind of like play off that. And like it's weird. Like I feel like if you don't ever want, like some people are like, I couldn't be around the person that I'm just like, if that's a real problem, that might be like
the wrong relationship.
Yeah. Like you should enjoy being around them. Like I can understand how you might butt heads on some things, but like if you can figure your way around that, you should be able to work as a team, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think sometimes it's hard to do when you're an entrepreneur, that self-sufficiency bias comes in, you know, and you think that I can do things better than someone else, and you forget to let go of what you can create when you create as a team.
Yeah.
So much more.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that kind of sucked for me. When I first bought my first real estate property, I was working with my realtor and one of my buddies, and don't get me wrong, it worked out well, but one of my buddies wanted to get into like the real estate with me, and the realtor was like, can you buy this yourself? I'm like, yeah, I can. He goes, don't get a partner then. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. So I ended up going down that path of like, okay, everything I can do on my own. But you get to a point where you can only do so much, and you need to be able to lean.
You do need partners.
And you need a good person to lean on. Like when you know that your strengths are here, I know her strengths are there.
Yeah.
And it multiplied, like 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. Like it equals 20 or infinite. You know what I mean? So that's something I'm still working on. So by being able to see you and Brittany work together so fluently and just absolutely killing it and have that great relationship as well.
Yeah.
It's a motivation to see.
Yeah.
And to be able to know that, hey, I wanted to create this life for myself. So this is what it's going to be, you know? So how going forward do you see your life being created with passion?
So I think ultimately it's about finding more time to do the things you like. Because when you own a business,
with the people you like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you're super busy when you own a business. It's just like, it consumes a lot of your life. And going back to like the spouse thing, I think the biggest struggle working with Brittany is like, you know, like, if you work in two different places, you come home, oh, how's your day? There's stuff to talk about. Like for us, we already know what happened during the day, right? Because we were there. So I think from that perspective, that can be the most difficult thing. Mm. But as far as like making life better, I think the thing is to like really like outsource as many things as you possibly can that you don't want to spend time doing. Yeah. So like, Britt and I were like, we look at our life now and we're like, okay, what are things that we hate to do?
Yeah.
And how can we just like never do them again?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was thinking the other day, so we just got a new person that cleans our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I spend about an hour every week ironing all my clothes for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is great because I like being prepared for the week, but this is an hour on a Sunday that I could be spending doing something else. Yeah. So I was like, new house cleaning person, one of their jobs is they better be able to iron because we're gonna, that's one of the things they're gonna have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like thinking, you know, like we have a meal prep service that makes us meals, and you know, we don't have to think about eating healthy. We know our food's healthy, and we don't have to think about cooking. Because the last thing you wanna do when you get home from work, it's 7 o'clock, and you know, you're gonna be up at 5 the next day. It's like the last thing you wanna do is spend the whole evening cooking and then have to go and clean up and all that stuff. It's just it's a waste of time, right? So
I think with that, it's a lot of times people will tell you like, oh, you know, that hour's worth X amount of dollars, and that's true, it could be, but I think it's more important to measure like, okay, I could spend this time doing something I love, not just making more money.
Yeah.
It's like, what's an hour of my time worth in creativity and pleasurable activities and things that I want to do versus like, oh, I could be making another $500. But if like, you know what, I truly enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
You know, like I like the cooking. It's a calmer for me.
Yeah.
So like, I don't want to outsource that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could pay somebody to do it, but like, don't outsource things just because it's not worth your time.
Yeah.
No, what's your time worth in sense of like, peace, serenity, like value, like not measuring it just on like the dollar sign, I think is important for sure.
And when I think about like my perfect life, it's like, it's like I spend a lot of focus working on this business, right? And I like building business. Like this is not gonna be the last business I do. So when I think about my life, it's like, I wanna be able to put 100% into the business when I'm here, but when I get home, I wanna just really be able to like, regenerate, restore, enjoy what I'm doing when I'm at home so that when I get back here, I'm 100%, you know?
Mm-hmm. What's the main thing that you're kind of focusing on right now?
From what perspective?
I guess from the business side and then personally.
So I think from the business side, you know, we just put together a plan. We want to get our office. We have space for 22 people. We have 8 people out on the sales floor right now. We want to get that 22 seats filled by June of next year. So 100% filled, and we're looking to open a second office in New York City. So that's like our short-term plan on that. So that's taking a lot of focus. Personally, I think for me personally, you know, having just completed the 75 hard, now I'm looking at like, how can I maintain the physical shape that I got into without feeling like this burden of, I gotta do these 5 things every day. So now I'm like, okay, you know, really focusing on jujitsu that I like. But then I also realize I'm like, there's things that I did here that I gotta keep doing. So if I'm doing jujitsu 4 times a week, I enjoy running, I'm gonna run a few times a week. then I'm going to do some weight training. So I'm still going to be, you know, there's going to be many days when I'm working out twice and stuff, but I think it's like taking that now and really making it a lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things for a lot of people is like they think, oh, if I'm going to go to the gym, I'm trying to hit an end goal.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you should have goals, but like there's never really an end goal to being healthy,
no,
and being happy.
Yeah.
So once you can create a lifestyle around it that's sustainable, you know, like, okay, that diet was good, it was focused, but like how can I maintain where I'm at and keep and build into like my life that like, okay, I want to keep doing jiu-jitsu, I keep want to run, but I still want to have a glass of champagne every now and then. I want to have a glass of wine and not limit yourself to being so regimented.
Yeah,
because I think Tony Robbins said like when he went out on a date with his wife now,
yeah,
you know, that she had like a chocolate sundae or something. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Living."
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, you gotta be able to.
Most people don't live because they're so focused on the future. And you know, I think being present sometimes is very important.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
To just appreciate it. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I could tell whenever you're surrounded by some people that lift you up and push you, have just this energy.
Yeah.
And you're definitely one of those people, and I'm so grateful to have met you.
Yeah.
But the one thing that it's most important for anybody is like surround yourself with people that not only push you but also appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know, and for many years it was difficult to really genuinely appreciate people,
yeah,
that were successful because I was insecure about myself.
Yeah.
And I think we talked a little bit about this, but like one of the best things that we ever were able to get from building businesses and being in sales and all this other stuff was not the money per se, but it was the confidence in ourselves, knowing that I am capable of creating money.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, that's so true, because like I always think, like, I've had people ask me, they're like, what would you do if you lost everything? It's like, I can't lose what I've learned. Like, I've got the skill set now. If I lost everything, I'd just go start something.
Right.
Because the skills and what you become to get there, mm-hmm, nobody can ever take that from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could go bankrupt, you could lose everything, you could all this stuff, but guess mm-hmm what? I can't lose my skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's never gonna change. Mm-hmm. I have the skills to be able to, no matter what now, go and make it happen.
Yeah, instead of acquiring, you know, things,
yeah,
acquire knowledge, acquire experiences,
yeah,
acquire people,
yeah,
that lift you up. I think that's the thing that's a lot of people, it's the wrong message.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, you know, go get a job, you know, get a career, make this money, retire someday. And once you've done, you know, your schooling, you're done and that's it. But like, no, I think, you know, you're continuously acquiring new things, but yeah, things are good. Like new clothes, nice car, upgrades, you know, yeah, those are good. But they're not nearly as good as the skills that you have, the knowledge that you have to have the confidence in yourself to know that if worst case scenario came about, I had to start something new, they can't take that away from me.
Yeah.
They can't take this exactly away from me. You know, and we were talking a little bit about like kind of putting yourself in the perspective of like, you know, by experiencing new things, by traveling across the world, it opens up different avenues in your brain where you can say, okay, I'm not just so focused on this thing.
Yeah.
I can expand, I can grow, I can travel, I can create my own life, you know? And like, one of your goals was, you know, you like New York City, you were there for many years, and that was one of your goals now, is you want to start an office there because you want to have a business that you could create yourself, that you created a life where, hey, if we want to work in Miami for 3 weeks and then go to New York City for a week, I can.
Yeah.
Because you created it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the big thing about this whole talk that we're talking about is like, how do I create a life that I created myself?
Yeah.
You know, created out of passion. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a lot of people are like, how do I find my passion? How do I like find the passion in the process,
yeah,
of creating a life for yourself?
Yeah.
You know, so like, I'm sure you didn't ideally think that you were going to be in, you know, IT placement when you were 12 years old.
Probably
just
not.
Like, I didn't think I was gonna be insurance, but it's like, you know, it's not the thing, it's the process of creating the lifestyle to fit your true self.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, I really appreciate the conversation with you, brother, and hopefully we're gonna do great things together. And I want to see you succeed. And is there anything that you kind of want to share to give some advice to anybody that might be listening?
I think just don't be afraid to take risk. Like, nothing good in life happens without risk. Yeah. So, like, take more risks, calculate them out. Don't just do stupid stuff, but take risks. And, you know, you take enough risks, some start to pay off.
Yeah, so put yourself in uncomfortable positions, right? All right, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Good chat, man.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, guys. All create your own success and create your own passion.
Awesome.
See ya.